Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Pei Aleph, and tonight, Mitzvah Shem will have the zechus of discussing the beautiful mitzvah Bris Milah, and the makaras are on the screen. I will try my best again to navigate in person and on Zoom. It definitely is more challenging than just one of them, but I get to be Marbitz Torah in a greater way. So, Baruch Hashem for that. Tonight's shir will be the Zechus Refuah Shlema for Gittel Miriam Bas Basha, B'Silch Shar Chol Yisrael, Jeff Therm's mother, who is in need of Racham Eshamayim, and she should have a Refuah Shlema B'Karov Mamish, and Hashem should just give Jeff the strength and his whole Mishpacha to be able to navigate this Nisayon that they were thrown at in as best of a way as possible. Jeff Therm, his mother, unfortunately, she had a stroke this week, and she needs a lot of tefillos and a big refuah. It should also be Li'ilay Nishmas Phoebe Basalika. This is my friend Lior, who's listening in and part of the shir. My good friend, his grandmother, whose yahrzeit is tonight, her neshama, should have an aliyah. So tonight's topic of Bris Milah is pretty, it's pretty obvious. If you'd say, oh, Lech Lecha, what mitzvah are we going to discuss from the Sefer HaChinuch? So, well, Bris Milah is the only one there, but it's really a core mitzvah, and not just Lech Lecha, but Vayera as well. The beginning of Vayera, the Malachim coming to visit Avraham Avinu after his Bris Milah and Lech Lecha. So I figure tonight we'll delve into some of the parts of the mitzvah of Milah. Touch upon some of the major topics. Understand the mitzvah behashkafa according to some of the mefarshim, and then hopefully end off with some divrei chizuk as well. So it's a vast topic. It covers many different areas, and there's many details. And just to scratch the surface is something to have some yedius in the mitzvah. Not I know I got a bris once upon a time when I was 8 days old, and I don't remember it because I was eight days old. But to understand what is the mitzvah. And who, different aspects of the mitzvah, who's kosher to do a bris milah, what's the obligation of a father of a bris milah. So we'll go into all them, and we'll try to cover as much as we can in the time we have tonight. So the makara mitzvah, if you look in source number one, so if you look this psukim, the psukim in this week's parsha Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tesori to the psukim, Vayomer Elohim El Avram, V'ata Es Brisit Hishmar Ata V'Zaracha Acharecha L'Darosam. Hashem tells Avram, you should keep my bris, my covenant, you and your descendants, after you throughout all the generations. Next pasuk is the makor itself. Zos brisi asher tishmeru beini uveinechem v'chein zaracha acharecha, himo lachem kol zachar. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and between you, and between your descendants, that every male among you be circumcised. There it is in the pasuk. Vashdeis the pasuk, that every male has to be circumcised. Every single male in Klal Yisrael from this pasuk has an achiyav to become circumcised somehow. We'll have to get the how. And the pasukim continue in the Maltemes Pesar Eloschem V'Hayel Os Bris B'nei Uvenechem. Again, you should circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be as a sign. It's an os. We know there's a couple things in the Torah that are an os, that are mamish, the sign. Right? The Chafetz Chaim used to say a sign. A sign is what defines something. You have a store and a shop. Even after the shop closes, if the sign is still up there, right, the store, people know it as the store, as that store. It could be many years after the store closed down. Because the sign represents what it's all about, what it is. So this is an oath. Shabbos is an oath. Mila is an oath. Mamish, one of the staples of being a Yid. Uven shmoros yamim yimol lechem kol zachar darsechem yilid b'ayis u'miknes kasev mikobe ne'echar shalom yizaracha hu himol yimol yilid again v'eschol v'miknes kaspecha v'haysa b'risi v'vsarchem v'risolem. Okay, those are the psukim in this week's parsha. If you look at the next pasuk, so in Parshas Tazria, in source number 2, the Torah again repeats itself and tells us about the mitzvah of milah. Uvayom hashmini yimol b'sar orloso, then on the 8th day you should circumcise, the flesh that's Arul, that's uncircumcised. So the Chinuch addresses why it's mentioned again. He definitely points that out. So let's look at the Lashon, let's read the Chinuch inside. Let's see how the Chinuch presents this mitzvah. And then we'll branch off from there. Says the Chinuch in source number 3. Lech lecha yesh ba mitzvah sase achas, vihi mitzvah smila. Lech lecha is one mitzvah, the mitzvah mila. Shenemar, zos brisi asher tishmer ben yivin eichem, vein zaracha acharecha, himal yim lachem kol zachar. Says the chinach, he quotes the pasuk from Aptah, pasuk yod, in Perakid Zayin. Then he says, v'nif, nichbalav is seder isha ki sazria. And this is repeated again later on in ki sazria. Dichsiv uvayom ashmini yivasar laso. Says the chinuch, the harbe mitzvos kemochei nichfalu b'mekomos harbe v'atorah. There are many mitzvos that are repeated in the Torah. They're not just mentioned once, but they're mentioned twice, or maybe more than twice. Says the chinuch, v'chulon l'tzarech. They're all done intentionally. The Ribbono Shel'olam didn't repeat himself. Like sometimes you're talking to a friend, and you might tell him something you told him yesterday. Maybe because you talk so much to him, so you don't remember what you told him, what you didn't tell him. The Ribbono Shel'olam didn't write something in the Torah by accident. He didn't make a mistake. It's all Utsarich. There's a purpose for it. Kamosha Pershim Chachamin is Rechon Vachas. Chazal tells. And as we know, right, there's no extra letter, extra word, extra dot in the Torah. So, for whatever reason, there's different things learned out from both Sukkim. Why didn't Hashem say it on one Pasuk? There's reasons for it. But that's why it's repeated in Ki Sezriah. Now says the Chinuch, so what is the mitzvah? The Inyan mitzvah Zohu. So what's the substance of the mitzvah? Shechoyschin ha'orla ha'mechape rosh ha'gavir. One part of the mitzvah, one aspect of the mitzvah, is that you go ahead and you cut away the foreskin that's covering the head of the membrane. You do what's called the mila. That's the mila part of it. You do the cutting part of the bris mila. And I get very queasy when you know, think about these things or talk about it too much. I'm not a doctor for a reason. One of them was I can't, you know, the blood and all that stuff, it's not my thing. Other people can handle it better. Baruch Hashem, we have wonderful doctors in the room who dedicate their lives towards these kinds of things. So that we're not going to get too descriptive and graphic, but that is the nature of the mitzvah. If you take a class on Bris Mila one day and want to become a mohel, you'll have to go ahead and figure all the details and specifics out. But that's the Mila aspect. Number two, uporin kurum rach shalamata mimena. It's that you go ahead and you reveal, you uncover the tender part of the membrane that's beneath it. So there's the mila, the cutting away, and then there's the priya, the revealing, or the uncovering. Kedesh shtesgale rosha atara, in order that the crown is revealed, becomes revealed, but also aver. That's on the aver. Says the chenuch, it's known to the learned, and this is probably an Abadar Chanister, it's known to those, you know, who know that the perfection of the human form is achieved by removing the foreskin from it. As is, you know, as they know. So, you know, what that means exactly, not sure, a little mystical. But you're being misaking the person somehow by doing a bris mila. The male is now becoming into a perfect state where he wasn't beforehand. And we're going to have to discuss exactly at the end. We'll get to the hashkaf of it, and we actually skip it here. There's a middle paragraph now in the chinuch that talks about the sherish hamitzvah. I saved that for the end. We'll do that as the hashkafic aspect for this mitzvah because it's nice, it's beautiful, and it's a nice idea to go ahead and discuss at that point in time. But this is the chinuch. What's interesting, and we'll see, is the chinuch leaves out one aspect of the mitzvah. What is it? What are the three classical parts of the mitzvah? There's mila, pira, and
mitzitza.
Hatafas dam bris. There's a mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah of mila is not just to cut the foreskin and to reveal part of it, but it's also to go ahead and to do hatafas dam bris. Everyone knows mitzitza bepeh, mitzitza not bepeh. It's in the news. Is it dangerous? Not dangerous? Does it hurt? Yeah, well, what are the risks involved? Using a kli, not a kli, is it okay to use a kli? So we're not going to get into the details tonight, technical details, but the chinuch leaves it out completely. And it's not that the chinuch didn't think that was part of the mitzvah, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that you need to do hatavas dam bris. But it could be that it's part of the mitzvah, meaning it's part of the mila and the priya, it's not its own aspect. There's two categories and it's nichlal within them, perhaps. But the chinuch clearly, you know, I'm sure would say, it's in Shas, it's in the Gemara, it's there. That you obviously need to. Why they do it? So the Gemara says, I think. Yeah. Exactly. The Gemara says that it's to protect them. It's to prevent danger. Exactly. So how the Metzius works, you know, scientifically, I'm not sure. But you know, but the Chinuch leaves it out. It's interesting. He doesn't even mention it. So says the Chinuch in Dinei HaMitzvah, and we're going to get into these topics, you know, in more detail. But we'll just breeze through them in the Chinuch just to see the full Chinuch. Almi muteles. So on who muteles milas haktanim? Who is this mitzvah on? V'chein milas avadim yilid beis mikne kesef v'achilik shebinahim v'eze inyan doichin b'shvilo Shabbos v'yontov uv'eze katan mashi milas yosem mishmar yamim v'yeser prateha. So all the dinim, all the specific laws and rules of who has to go ahead and you know, is obligated to circumcise, who circumcising an eved, someone in the household, it's all discussed. In he tells us where in the Masach Shabbos and Yevamos, v'sham b'Shabbos yisbarach ki hamal mevarich, and he talks about the brachos. So the brachos of Bris Milah are also mentioned in the Gemara. There's two brachos, at least two brachos. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Shabbos Tivanu L'Milah. V'Avia Ben Obeistin B'Mkom She'inav Mevarachin Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu B'Shabbos Tivanu La'achnisu B'Riso Shel Avraham Avinu. So there's two different brachos. One that the Moav recites, which is the first bracha, the Berachas HaMitzvah. Then there's the second bracha, the bracha of La'achnisa B'Riso Shel Avraham Avinu, which the father recites. And that's a bracha that is more of a bracha of Shevach V'Hodat HaShem. And V'Omdim Shem Onin K'Shem Shezach L'Bris K'ni Zakel HaKel L'Torah Chup Masim Tovim. Everybody who's there goes ahead and says that just like, you know, he was Zochet, he was Zochet HaBris, he should be Zochet HaChupa Torah Chup Masim Tovim. So we're going to get there. Yeah, we're going to get there. Beautiful. Binyamin mentioned that, you know, isn't the mitzvah on the father. So we're going to talk about that. And we'll delve into that. And if you look, the Chinuch is Lashon, though, he says, Va'avi ha-bein, the father of the son, oh, based in b'mkon she'enav. Or if there is no father, based in place of the father. Clearly implying it's on the father. If there's no father, okay, we've got to talk about who does it. But we're going to get there. The Chinuch concludes, "V'noheges b'chol makom v'chol zman ve'ein hanashim chayavos b'milos b'neihem." This mitzvah applies in all places, all times. It's not restricted to certain limitations. But women are not chayiv to do milah for their sons. Ela ha'av or based in b'makom she'ena. But it's the father. It's on the obligation of the father or based in if there is no father. The overall mitzvah zo. So this is a key part to this mitzvah as well. Usually when you're mevatel mitzvah saseh, so you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. You don't get an onesh of any of the four mitzvahs based in, of malchus, of kares. Here, it's one of the two mitzvahs saseh that if you're mevatel, the Torah has a very harsh punishment. And it could be because of the importance of the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is an os. The mitzvah is supposed to go ahead and define a yid. But you just see the importance if you look at the punishment to understand it by implication, how important the mitzvah is. This is up there. The oivel mitzvah is oblo malatzmo mishagir lechal anashin, shu yud givshanav yom echad, bechol yom she'avar, Allah mishigdav lo yom, olatzmo mevatel mitzvah saseh. So if a person doesn't, a baby boy doesn't have a bris milah, well, when he's 8 days old, right, he doesn't know what's going on. So what is he supposed to do? But as he gets older and he learns about milah, he knows he doesn't have a milah, and he's supposed to have a milah, and he turns bar mitzvah, and now he's bar chiyuva in mitzvahs. He has to get a milah. He has to either do it to himself or have somebody else do it to him. He has a chiv now to make sure he has a milah. And according to the chinuch, the way he writes it, right, when he turns 13 a day, if he doesn't, he's mevatel mitzvah zaseh. And if the boy dies without ever getting a bris milah, and it was done b'mezid, meaning he never got the bris milah, but he knew about bris milah, he did it intentionally, he didn't want to have bris milah, he's chayiv karis. Avla ein la'av chayiv karis b'milas b'nov el shover aseh. But there's no chayiv karis for the father. The chayiv karis is only upon the person, the child, who needs to seek out his own bris milah at that point in time. Ve'im b'chol atar mitzvah aseh shechayiv v'tula karis ki imzo v'shchitas ha-pesach. Says the chinuch, there's two mitzvahs in the Torah that you're chayiv karis. One, bris milah. Two, is the shchitas of the korban pesach, is going ahead and offering and the ritual and all, everything involved with the Korban Pesach. So that is the mitzvah of milah in the Chinuch, except for the Sherish HaMitzvah, which we'll get to at the end. So, give a...
It's interesting to note that we're going to say the Aviva Ben is over an Aseh if he doesn't do it. We're not saying Beis Din is over an Aseh and not making sure that Ben is Mal.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, the chinuch doesn't mention that. I mean, the whole time he says the father or that the person in place of the father.
It's a chiv to make sure the kid is mal if the father's not there, but
we're not gonna say that they're mevatala say. Well, right, and you would say who it's everyone. Meaning,
right.
Beis Din is like Klal Yisrael.
Right.
So all of Klal Yisrael are now, you know, are mevatala mitzvah. I say the point that was made was that you know if to say that the father was mevatala say. Even though he doesn't get karis, that's what the chinuch writes. But what about if the father isn't alive, you know, isn't around to do it for whatever reason? Does Beis Din, they're next in line, which we'll see in the Gemara, they have the chiyuv, but are they mevatel and asay? Is it all of Klal Yisrael now mevatel and asay because they didn't go ahead and do it? The chinuch doesn't mention, he keeps mentioning over and over, av, and then Beis Din in place of the av, at the end he only says, he doesn't say that based on what. So it's an interesting ha'ara to look at that. Okay, so let's skip to source number. Not skip. Let's go to source number four. Source number four is the Rambam. So the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos goes ahead and codifies this mitzvah as well as one of the Targum Mitzvos, and he has the number 215 Reish Tesvav. Actually, yeah, 215. V'amitzvah reish tesvav shetzivonu lamolas habein v'amir yisal avram himo lachem kol zochar v'chosu batar shehu b'karis miv shemata matzazu v'hu amro v'arol zochar shelo yamolas besar lasov nichasos. So the Rambam basically, you know, quotes some of what we said already, that you have to go ahead and have a bris milah and then the pasuk by Avram, and if you don't, you're chayv karis. V'karis bar mishpate mitzvazu perek tisha asar mishabes rabbi b'mivamos, just like the chinuch who we've mentioned before, really uses the Rambam as his source. And the Rambam concludes, "V'ein ha'isha mitzuva lamalas bina k'mosha av mitzuva b'zeh k'mosha is bar b'kiddushin." That the mother is not obligated to go ahead and do a bris milah for her son like the father. Something that's interesting is that he throws in this lashon of k'mosha av, meaning it's you know, that's not necessary. Just saying in chiyav. So that's a point that some of the Farshim talk about in the Rambam. What does he mean exactly? A mother's not obligated like the father. It sounds like maybe she has a certain chiv, or maybe she's involved, has to be involved in some way. But that's the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos. So if we look in source number five, and then we're going to get to Binyamin's point about the father, about the chiv ha'av specifically, and we'll discuss that. And it's there's a good lumdus there actually. So Shulchan Aruch tells us in source number five, Ketzad Malin, so he quotes Choschen Es Ha'orla. So this is Shulchan Aruch in Yardaya, Simen Reish Tanach Dal Tziv Gimel. You cut the Orla. Kede Kol Ha'or HaChupa HaTara, Ach Tiskal HaTara, V'Acher Kach Purin Es HaKurim HaRach Shalomata Me'Or, it's Purin, Machziro Lekan Lekan, Chir Basar HaTara. See, he talks about the two elements, the Mila of cutting, and then the priya of revealing and pulling back and making sure that it's revealed. And says the Shulchan Aruch, which the Chinuch left out, as we said, V'achar kach motzitzin hamila shiyatza adam mei hamekomos harechokim kedei shele yavol lidei sakana, like Binyamin said. Afterwards, you have to go ahead and do metzitza so that the dam, the blood, it comes out from you know, the areas that are a little farther away, in order that the baby doesn't go ahead and have any danger. It doesn't, the bris milah doesn't cause a sakana. This somehow helps prevent a sakana. So if we get into this conversation now, and it's really, if you skip to source number eight below, so the Gemara talks about who's obligated to do the mitzvah of bris milah. How do we know a father's obligated? What's the source? It's written over there. Exactly. That's correct. Avraham, as Binyamin said, it's okay, it's great, it's good to read ahead. All good. No cheating in a shir. So there's the Avraham Avinu, he went ahead and did a bris on Yitzhak. So let's see the Gemara. Source number 8, and then we'll go back to 6 and 7. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Kaf Tesamet Aleph, Av Chayev Vivno L'molo. Right? The father is obligated to be Mola's son. Uluf Dosov, Lamdo Tairo, Lasio Isha, Lamdo Umanos. These are all obligations that the father has for his son. To teach him Torah, and to find him a wife, and teach him how to do business and a trade, and do, you know, all various things. Some say even to teach him how to swim. So it's good to go ahead. If you don't know how to teach him how to swim, then pay somebody else to teach him how to swim, get him swimming lessons. It's and have kavana that it's a mitzvah. Yeah, right here. So this is the Gemara. Right here, source number 8. Exactly, it's in the Gemara. V'Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Sheinu Melamed Is Ben Omnanus Melamed Listos Listos Tzachadai Dara L'Kilu Melamed Listos. Okay, says the Gemara. So going on this Bryce, I think. So Ha'av, so Lamola Melamed. How do we know the father has to go ahead and be Mola's son? Dechsiv Vayimol Avram Es Yitzchak Beno. Vayomol Avram Es Yitzchak Beno. So if you look in source number 9, the pasuk in next week's parsha Vayir Perkafal pasuk Dalid, Torah tells us Vayomal Avram Es Yitzchak Beno Ben Shmonas Yamim Kasher Tziva Osalohim. Right there, Avram went ahead and was Moel's son. Father is Moel the son. Yitzchak as Hashem on the 8th day as Hashem commanded. Says the Gemara Vaheicha Delo Mali Avua Mechay VeBeidina LeMimale. And when the father is not it does not mohel the son, so then the chiyuv falls upon beidine, the beistin. Dechsiv, and we have another pasuk to support that, he molachem kol zachar, that you have to go ahead and ensure that all males are circumcised. Vehechadullah mahali beidina, what happens if there's no, the people don't do it, you know, they fall short of their obligation. Mechayev iu limol nafshe, he has to go ahead and circumcise himself. That's not easy, but that's what you have to do. Okay, so the pasuk says that, you know, you learn out from the pasuk in the Gemara that you need to. So this is the source that the father has an obligation. Now, I'll tell you, I've been to many brises. I don't think I've ever seen a father do a bris meal. I've never been to a bris where the father was the mohel. I'm sure it's happened. Father what?
I think father assists.
Oh. Okay, so we're gonna talk about that right now. Binyamin's saying that the father assists the mohel. The father goes ahead and somehow is involved. Yeah, shlichus. Okay, so that's what we're gonna get to next. So, I'll tell you a quick story. I was once a year or two years in West Orange as the rabbinic intern in a shul. And the rav there, in the shul that I was in, so he was a jack of all trades kind of rav, like old school rabbanim. He's a sheikhet, he knows how to check for shatnez. He knows how to do bris mila, you know, like you do out of New York. You know, you have to know how to do everything for your community. You can't rely on everybody else to do it. And I just give drushes and deal with the people. You gotta go ahead and be able to do it. So one time he asked me, you know, like, do you want to come with me to meet the couple the night before the bris and to see me talk to them and talk to the parents? And I said, sure, you know, Shimush, you want me to show? I'd love to learn, watch, I'll observe, I'll learn from it. And I'm in the house and the father, it's in the in-laws, so it's in the mother of the baby's parents' house in West Orange, and the father of the baby, he's with his in-laws there, and they're all there around the table, and I'm there just kind of watching. Starts saying, yeah, tomorrow I think I'm gonna do the mila. I'm gonna go ahead. I want to do it. You'll tell me when to cut. The father says to the mother, to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, okay, you know, we'll figure out. The father-in-law, the mother's father, I said, what do you know about me? You're not doing the mila. And a fight broke out. Mamish, it wasn't like a World War III, but it was like an argument. you're not doing it, but it's my son. I want to do it. It's my mitzvah. I don't care if it's your mitzvah. The mohel's, the rabbi is going to do it. No father does this. So how did it get resolved? The rav took the father-in-law aside and said, listen, I do this a lot. 9 out of 10 times, the father gets all excited. I want to do the mila. He chickens out. Don't worry. It's going to be okay tomorrow. He's not going to do the mila. You really think he wants to? He's excited to mitzvah tomorrow. He's talking about it now. When he shows up tomorrow and he sees the instruments and he's all nervous that his son's getting a bris, he's going to tell me to do it. I can almost guarantee it. I don't know what happened. I didn't go to the bris, but it was a funny story. But the father wasn't wrong, and let's see why. So look in source number 6. The Darkei Moshe says the following. Darkei Moshe quotes in source.
The father gets more of the mitzvah.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Kavana, he wanted to. He wanted to, right? He really wanted to. He gets a little more.
As you said, most fathers don't.
Right, most fathers don't even. It doesn't cross their mind. They're like, you know, maybe they think. Yeah, they probably don't even realize. They're just like, what they do is they want to make sure they have the mohel's number for when they go to the hospital for the delivery to book him, because mohels are busy, and it's like the monopoly of Jewish men. in the business world of you know, to break in is not simple. I always think about it like sheitels for women, being a sheitamacher, and getting into that world is like the mohel world for men, to get a reputation and name and training and get out there. And Baruch Hashem, they, you know, they need to make a parnasa. They don't charge a small amount. It's for a mitzvah, so it's all good. But 100%, you know, everyone's always worried who's going to be the mohel. They don't think twice about doing it themselves. Says the Darkei Moshe, source number 6. Kosav Be'or Zarua, says the word Zarua, Yima'av Mohel Usser Litein LaMohel Acher. If the father is a Mohel, or Zarua says, Usser to give it to another Mohel. It's Usser to give the mitzvah to another Mohel. Says the Darkei Moshe, V'tzarech Iyin. I don't understand what Or Zarua is saying. Ma'ishno mi mitzvah acheres diyochel asa shliach ben komo. Why is this any different than other mitzvahs where I can appoint a shliach in my place? So by other mitzvahs, the Gemara spends daffin talking about gittin and kiddushin and a korbanos, having somebody be makar of a korban for me.
In that case, it's because the father can do it. Right? So the reason why he passes it on to the moil is because he cannot do it and he has to have a shliach to get him to do it for him.
Correct. Meaning you're saying the Or Zarua would say it's a case only when the father can do it. Yeah, that's what he says, that the father's in moil. And he passes it along, 100%. Oh, okay. So that's the whole discussion, exactly. So if you look in source, so the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe clearly disagrees with the Or Zarua, meaning he's Tarachin, he's a Shiloh, why can't Shlichus apply here? And that's the Ramah. The Ramah is the Darkei Moshe. Look in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 7. Shulchan Aruch as well, Reish Samech Hesif Tes, says, Avi HaBen Omir Alamo Lo'odiyo Shehu Shlucho. As Binyamin said before, part of the process is that the father is supposed to stand next to the Mohel to inform the Mohel that he's his Shliach. He needs to appoint him as a Shliach. Clearly the Shulchan Aruch holds, Shlichus does work. Right? We have a concept for, just to give the background, there's a concept of Shlucho Shel Odom Kamosa. The Gemara learns out that you can have, appoint somebody as what we call in English, your agent, to do something on your behalf. So Shlichus usually works. The concept of somebody else doing something on my behalf, okay, they did it, and the general way of understanding is when someone else does something for me on my behalf, so they do the action that I appointed them to do for me, and their action then relates back to me. So it's as if I did it. I didn't do it, but they did it for me, and now the chalos of the maisa, the actual performance of the action, is mine. It's like I did it. Shlucho shel adam kamoso. The person, the shliach, the messenger of the person, is like the shliach. So the Ketzos, I remember learning that many years ago, as a famous idea of what does it mean exactly, shlucho shel adam kamoso, when I appoint somebody as a shliach, are they my shliach and they take on all of my attributes? They become me, essentially, and now are following through on the act that I said? Or is it just, no, they're a messenger and the act relates back to me? And the napkamina could be, if the mishaleach becomes somehow, it's you know, during the time of the shlichus, he goes ahead and he becomes a shaita, he becomes incapacitated. What happens at that point? So if he already sent the shliach, and the shliach is a messenger, and he's not taking the place and the koiches, it's not so much kamoso, he's just the messenger, so then it's okay. But if it's, he takes, you know, so the choice goes ahead. Sorry? I think the father gets the mitzvah because he has a shliach do it for him. So they both are involved, right? There's for sure the mohel is, you know, for sure somehow involved. That, I don't know what happens in Shemaim and you know, the countings and everything, but they're both involved. The mitzvah can't happen without the mohel, so he clearly has to, you know, he's getting some sort of fulfillment on you know, and part of it. But the father's fulfilling his obligation. He's seeing to it that it's happening. But as you mentioned, what's your name? I'm sorry?
Adam.
As Adam mentioned, what's going on here is really a machlokas potentially of whether or not this bris milah is a mitzvah shebegufo. There's a concept that when it comes to shlichus, shlichus does not exist by a mitzvah shebegufo, right? If I go ahead and tell Aaron Gershano, it's Aaron, you know, I can't put on tefillin today. Do me a favor. Be my shliach. You put on tefillin on yourself, and it's as if I put on a tefillin. That doesn't work. You can't put on tefillin and then that relates back to me. If I ask you, Aaron, you know, please go ahead, do me a favor, and be makarva korban on my behalf. Do something for me. Deliver this, if I'm getting married, you know, this to the woman, to go ahead and affect my marriage. So that's a very different thing than something that has to be done with your body. So the question is, what is bris milah? And that could be the machlokas here as well, whether shlichus works or not. According to the Or Zarua, shlichus, you know, it doesn't work. If the father could be the mohel, it's usr. He has to do it. It's usr. He's forbidden. Because the shlichus doesn't accomplish anything. The father has an obligation to do it. And no one else could do it for the father, if he's able to. And the Raman, Shulchan Aruch, clearly hold the opposite. Shlichus does apply by bris milah as well.
It's the question that I guess I understand is then, how does the Or Zarua understand the chiyuv of Beis Din in lieu of the father in that case?
The chiyuv of Beis Din. So if there is no father, then the chiyuv just changes, you could say. Meaning, the chiyuv is now a different chiyuv. There's no, it's not that the Beis Din is a shliach for the father, but the chiyuv is replaced. The mechayev is like uprooted. It's can't be the father anymore, so it has to be based in or Klalisar or somebody else. I'm not sure if that helps answer it, but
with Mr. Shilgufa, then how the mechanism by which Beis Din is able to.
Right. The question is how could Beis Din then be obligated to the mitzvah if the father can't? Because if according to the Or Zarua, and it's clearly that Beis Din does have the chiyuv, but I think you would have to say that it's not shlichus. The father's not around. The father's not able to.
Right.
So it's working in a different mechanism.
Right.
It's operating in a different way according to the Or Zarua. I think even maybe according to I could say even according to Shulchan Aruch Ramah, that there's three different.
On the Shulgufa, then you get around the whole thing.
Right.
That way.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So the next discussion. So we saw the Gemara in source number 8 that talked about who's obligated to do the mitzvah of milah. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch in source 10 says the following: Hakol ksherim lamol. Everyone's kosher to do milah. Afilu evet isha v'katan v'arol yisrael shemesu echa machmas milah. So a woman can do a bris milah. An Eved can do it, a Katan, an Orel, Yisrael, somebody who's an Orel that didn't do a Mila because somebody, one of his siblings passed away from Bris Mila, which is a whole discussion. If two brothers pass away from Mila, the third brother can't go ahead and get Mila, but not for now. V'im yesh Yisrael gadol sheyadua lamal hu kodim l'kulam. But even though a woman is kosher, and an Eved is kosher, a Katan, the Orel, who wasn't, it's better to go ahead and to have a Yisrael, a male, do it ahead of all of them. V'yeshorim t'isha lo timo, he quotes from the Smack in the Hagos Mordechai, a woman really shouldn't go ahead and do a bris milah. V'chein ohagin, lahader achar ish, aval obey kochavim, so this is an interesting, ha'aran point, because it becomes very lamaisa sometimes these days. Oved kochavim afilu hu mahul lo yamol klal v'imal ein tzarech lachzer v'lama pal shenis. A non-Jew an oved kochavim shouldn't go ahead and mohel for a Jewish boy, and if he does ein tzarech lachzer v'lama pal shenis. But if it happens that a guy was the mohel, the baby doesn't have to have another bris milah. Says the Ramah, he argues v'yeshurim dechayovim lachzer l'hatav imenu dam bris. The Ramah disagrees, says, no, you need to do something. You need to do a tafas dambris. This is very practical in hospitals, where you have doctors and sometimes families that are Jewish, but maybe not yet focused on Torah and observant of halachos. So the circumcision is very common. I think in the hospitals, because it's healthy for the baby and they do it. Everyone, they just have it done. And you could have a non-Jewish doctor who does the bris. And then the kid becomes a Baal Tshuva later on in life, finds out, I don't really have a big party at the Yangon of Hillcrest or in a shul on my eighth day like everybody else, but in the hospital they circumcised me. And it was a non-Jew.
And it's not the eighth day.
And it wasn't the eighth day.
There
you go, it was earlier. What do? You can't redo a bris milah. Once it's cut, it's cut. And once it's revealed, it's revealed. So this is very lemaisa. Do you have to do a tafas dam bris at that point? Shulchan Aruch seems to say no. Ramah says yes. And there's different shailas that come up in hospitals, like should a frum woman doctor go ahead and try to beat the, not like race ahead in the hallway, but try to make it her business to be the one to do the circumcision if she can, rather than a non-Jewish doctor who, you know, is there too, if she can. So these shailas are discussed in the later Achronim, in the Poskim, but it's an interesting discussion. So yeah, a mother can, yeah. We hold a mother can, but it's better the father, the chiyuv is on the father.
It happens in the
Torah. That's right. So it's discussed by Tzipora. That's the raya that it's okay. Mentioned that Tzipora did it for Moshe. Yeah. So that's the proof. That's for sure a mother can. But the chiyuv is on the father, as we see. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, she's kosher, a woman, any woman, the mother or any woman. But, im yesh Yisrael gadol, Sheyadul Amal, who called him Lakulam. He comes first. He gets Kedimus, the Yisrael father. So we only have 5 minutes. We'll just mention outside, and then we'll get to the Hashkafa part, that the Onesh for somebody who is in Mal. So we discussed, the Chinuch quoted, that, you know, once you turn 13 in a day, and then if you die b'mezid, that you didn't do a bris mila, you're chayv kares. So there's an interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid about this. The Rambam says, "V'kol yom v'yom," in source number 11, "Kol yom v'yom," Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, "Sheyavur olav mishiyigdal v'lo yomol esatzma harei u'mevatel mitzvaseh every day." You have a constant chiyuv if a person didn't get a bris mila when they were a baby, and now they're 13. Every single day of the rest of their life, they're mevatel mitzvaseh. "Aval eino chayv kares," but you're not chayv kares at sheyamos v'u arba mezid, which is what the Chinuch said. Says the Ravid, "Aval eno chayv kares at sheyamos kasav haravid amar Avraham in b'ze tavlin v'chimishum hasra safik poltrin osom min hashemayim v'chol yom omi b'risa kares ad kan lashon." The Ravid disagrees. So it doesn't really, you know, go ahead and it makes sense. And in b'ze tavlin, and the Ravid is of the opinion that no, the Ravid holds that it would be every single day that you actually violate, then you have and you have kares. So the last point's an interesting also from the so, actually the Minchas Chinuch in source number 12 talks about mila and tzvila and whether or not an akum who's going through a geiris conversion, a convert, can be mol himself or not. So he's not Jewish yet, so it would be the din of an akum doing it. But mela, maybe it's mila tzvila bo and ke'echa. Maybe it all happens at the same time. So he has an interesting discussion there of whether or not a ger can be mol himself, would that be kosher or not? So the last 2-3 minutes, we'll just talk hashkafa. So the Chinuch, in source number 13, back to the Sherish HaMitzvah, the Chinuch says, L'fishe rotza Hashem Yisbarach, what's the purpose of bris mila? It's great, we have all these halachos, it's vast, there's many simonim in Shulchan Aruch, but what's it all about? It's Hashem wants l'kvoa be'am asher hivdil lios nikra al shemo os kavu b'gufam. Hashem wants to go ahead and establish a permanent os, a sign on every Jew's body. And to make us different, physically, just like we're different spiritually from the rest of the world. Even though many people these days get a bris mila, but it wasn't l'shem mitzvah. Asher mitzvotam avam inen shavah. V'nikba hegda b'galos is azav, she was okay. Says the Chinuch, V'am ha'nifcha chofitz Hashem yisbarach l'hashim t'chun. Asher ratzilus lios ha'shlamo idei ha'adam. This is a great word to say at any bris or any shom zach or anything. Why did Hashem go ahead and give us the mitzvah of mila? Because He wanted to show us, says the Chinuch, that the hashlamas ha'adam is through our own selves perfecting ourselves. It's the famous medrash with the medrash Tanchuma with Rabbi Akiva and Turnus Rufus in source number 14. Zetem, why didn't your God create you mahol? If it's and we know that they were very against the Yavanim, they were very against it because they idolized the body, but so why do you need to fix the body? If Hashem's so perfect and Hashem's great, why don't you just create your mahol? Why do you need to do something? It's wrong. So we know that was Rabbi Akiva's, you know, response. It was similar that this is the Chinuch's idea, that the Hashlama is a person, that the Shlama doesn't just happen. We come into this world and we need to work on ourselves to perfect ourselves. And Hashem wanted to show people that through the bris mila, through the mitzvah mila, that you have to fix something. That's what life is all about. It's about working on yourself, about growing and evolving and changing over time. If you look in source number 15, the Beis Halevi on this week's parasha also has a beautiful vart to discuss that the chakira and the achronim of whether the mitzvah of mila is a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah. Not, it's a mitzvah saseh, but what's the hashkafa of the mitzvah? Is it sur meira or asay tov? So he says you find both, because the Gemara tells us that mu'usi hi ha'orla, the orla is disgusting, The Gemara also says, though, that there are Shenichesu ala Gimel Gimel Brisos. There are 13 covenants that happened at the time of Bris Mila. So there's positives and negatives. He says that we know the Chinuch, right? There's two aspects. There's Mila and there's Priya. The Mila, the cutting away, is the Sur Meira. And the Priya, the uncovering, the revealing, the keeping there, but showing more, is the Aseh Tov. Is bringing out the good. And that Mila has both aspects, and that's the dance in life, is to be a Sur Meira, but also an Aseh Tov. Which order, how to do it, that's a whole separate topic, but that you see both elements in the mitzvah of Bris Mila. And, you know, we'll conclude the source number 16, 17, 18. It's really about David HaMelech. The Gemara tells us that he was in the bathhouse and he was very, upset because he said he didn't have any, he was depressed. He was naked of mitzvahs. He didn't have anything. And then he looked at his Bris Mila and he remembered it as an os, that it's there, that he, even in the bathhouse, he had a mitzvah. So, whatever, you know, it teaches us, some achronim use that as a raya that, you know, that it's a constant mitzvah once you have a bris, you know, you always have it, every second you're fulfilling the mitzvah, it's not just a once in a ma'aseh mitzvah, but that's why it's the simcha that David HaMelech had, it's a mitzvah that is always the kind of simcha, it's done with the suda, it's a real simcha with the mitzvah of Mila, it comes from what David HaMelech, from Avraham Avinu in this week's parsha, and we should all follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, and Mitzvah Hashem, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you all for joining. Good Shabbos.